Welcome to Nettles and Honey, a podcast where we share our birth stories. My name is Madeline White. I'm a doula, registered yoga teacher, and French immersion teacher who feels passionate about empowering birthing persons and parents through their birth and postpartum journeys. I believe that by sharing and listening to our birth stories and experiences, we are able to learn and grow as a community. This is a safe space where anyone is welcome to share their story. So thanks for tuning in, and let's get into a birth story. Hello, and welcome to Nettles and Honey, a podcast where we share our birth stories. My name is Madeline White, and I'm going to be talking about my first birth story today from 2021. So before we get into my birth story, I'll just tell you guys a little bit about me and my family. Like I said, my name is Madeline White. I'm married to my husband, Duncan, and we have two children together, Wallace, who is now three, whose birth story I'm going to be talking about today, and Hamish, who is just about 15 months, 3 days ago. Wow, time flies. We have a cat, Mr. Man. We live in Victoria, BC. I am a French immersion teacher, and I'm also just becoming a doula as well. And my husband, Duncan, is an economist. We both like doing a lot of sports outdoors. We like running, playing volleyball, and yoga. Not outdoors for the yoga, I guess, but outdoors in the summer is amazing. And yeah, that's a little bit about us. So how did my pregnancy journey start, or planning to get pregnant start? We waited until we both secured jobs. We were very conscious about having maternity leave and parental leave throughout our jobs. So we both worked, well, actually we did not even, Duncan was working for a year and passed his probation, so he was eligible for leave. But we got pregnant in, I guess it would have been July. And yeah, we started trying in July as well. So we got pregnant on our first try. And I actually had just graduated from my Bachelor of Education program. I didn't actually have a job yet. So I remember that was a little bit of a stressor because I wasn't going to be able to secure a job until September, and my due date was for early April. So that was kind of a stressful thing because I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to secure a full-time position or even a part-time position. So I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get any top-up through my job. So I was basically banking on the fact that I'm a French immersion teacher and that there is an abundance of jobs, which I was able to get a full-time position and able to get enough hours until the maternity leave. So that played out really well, but I remember it being kind of stressful when I did get pregnant because it was, it was in the summer. So I wasn't working, and that was a little bit stressful. So yeah, we got pregnant first try, which was amazing. Didn't expect it. I peed on the stick and actually was able to wait until the first day after my missed period, which I don't even know how I waited so long. I know there's other people that test all of the time, but I just knew the facts and I knew, yep, you're supposed to wait until the first day after your missed period, so I'll just do that. And I remember I took the test because my breasts were really sore, and yeah, I took the test, peed on it, it was instantly positive, and I just kind of had a moment with myself thinking, oh my goodness, this is actually happening, I can't believe we got pregnant on the first try. And I was just kind of stunned. And I took it to my husband, and we just kind of sat there not saying anything because we were just both in shock that it had happened so quickly. We were sitting there smiling because we had been talking about this. We had been together for what, 6 or 7 years, and we had talked about this all of the time, and we had put a lot of thought and planning into it. So when it actually happened, we just almost couldn't even really believe it, that it had happened so quickly, and that we were going down this road and we're gonna have a baby. And yeah, we were both really excited and just couldn't stop smiling, but we didn't say much. Yeah, so that's how we found out we were pregnant. Yeah, and I'll get into the first trimester and what kind of birth we were planning and how did we prep for the birth. So the first trimester was not so great. Overall, I really, really enjoyed and loved being pregnant. I found that pregnancy was such an amazing gift, and my mood was amazing. Nothing could shake me throughout that first pregnancy. Like, something bad would happen and I'd just be like, it's okay. I'm growing a baby. I'm doing this super cool thing and my body is amazing. And I just mentally, I was so at peace and happy. Nothing could shake me. My husband loved it. I never got mad at him. I was just cool as a cucumber and just having the best time. Also, that might play into it that it was COVID and that people were all kind of complaining and not really doing anything and stuck indoors. And I just felt like I was doing the coolest thing ever in my life because I was going through this pregnancy. And I just felt so purposeful that COVID almost didn't seem to shake me. So that was amazing. But yeah, first trimester, I had nausea. I mean, not even first trimester. I had nausea with my first pregnancy for about the first 16 weeks. Pretty bad nausea to the point where I would be throwing up at least once or twice a week, every week. And that came back to bite me as well in the third trimester, where I was for about a month, I was throwing up every day in the morning until I realized that it was my prenatal that was making me throw up. And then I switched it and it went away right away. So that's kind of funny fact. Sometimes your prenatal can make you do that. Yeah, so I had the nausea, which was not great, but I just developed certain ways to get over it, like having ginger, and mostly staying hydrated was the thing that helped me most, but also making sure my blood sugar didn't dip. So having snacks that had complex carbs and an adequate protein source, that really helped me. I did suffer from a lot of fatigue in the first trimester. I am a runner, so I'm not a napper. And I would take naps or just rest and lie down for hours. The first 10 weeks is when the fatigue hit me the worst. And then after that 10-week mark, it was all right. But for those 10 weeks, I did not run at all. I just couldn't find the energy, and I just let my body rest, which was all right because I was actually able to run up until 38 weeks. Yep, up until 38 weeks with this pregnancy, which was such a blessing. It helped me really mentally and helped me do something physical to just prepare for that birth. So what kind of birth we were planning was a hospital birth with midwives. And I was planning an unmedicated birth. I have lots of experience I'm also a yoga teacher, so I have lots of experience with breathing techniques that I thought would help me really well throughout my labor. And overall, I was just really excited about labor. My mom always told me that it was the most purposeful thing she's ever done. And she had 3 unmedicated births, so she just always told me that birth was the coolest thing ever. And it was hard, but it was just the most amazing gift that she's ever been given. So I was really excited for my labor and birth. Yeah, so we're planning an unmedicated birth with the midwives, decided on not having a doula just because I know that my husband is a really good support. And the thing that I would have struggled the most, I think, was with a mental space. And I just really wanted to have people that I didn't want to have so many people in the room. So I just wanted to have people that I knew would be there to support me. So I really just wanted my husband and then the midwives. I had a really good relationship with almost all of my midwives. There was a practice of four of them, and three of them I connected with really well. There was one other one that I just hoped wouldn't be at my birth. So yeah. And what did I do to prep for the birth? I read a lot. I read especially Ina May Gaskin's Guide to Childbirth. I loved that book, and I just felt really empowered by all of the women that have birthed and medicated before me, especially on the farm. Ideally, I wanted to have a home birth, but I got a little pushback from my family and my husband. So I just said, you know what? First birth, I don't hate the hospital or anything. I feel comfortable in a hospital. People who have home births say that they don't like the sterile environment of the hospital. The only thing I don't like about the hospital is going there and that there's sick people in the hospital. So during COVID, that was kind of a thing. But I was thinking, yep, you know what, first baby. And I also have a negative blood and my husband has positive blood. So I have to get a shot of Rogam, which is a blood product, to protect me and the baby during my pregnancy at around, I think it's around 28 weeks or 30 weeks that they administer it. And then right after the birth, if the baby were to have a positive blood type, which my baby ended up having a positive blood type, so I had to get that shot of Rogam at the hospital. And I knew even if I had a home birth and my baby were to have positive blood, then I'd have to go back to the hospital anyways. So for this birth, I just decided, yeah, we're doing a hospital birth. I'm going to have to be there anyways. And planned out, like, turned out really well, actually. So yeah, that was the first trimester. And then the second trimester, we had the anatomy scan. And with the anatomy scan, they found out that my baby... We didn't know the gender of the baby and we're planning to have it a surprise at birth. We just figured that there's not many surprises in life, and that was one of life's biggest surprises. So we wanted to save that for the birth. We had the anatomy scan and they did mention that I had marginal cord insertion. And with that, they were saying that one of the, basically the biggest problem that the baby can have is growth restriction. So they can't really do too much about it besides monitor it and then get the baby out if the baby isn't growing properly. So we just had our plan for that was to have a couple other ultrasounds during our pregnancy just to monitor the baby's growth. So yep, second trimester, very smoothly, was loving life, into running again. That was amazing. And I did end up getting a job in November. So I was working November up until March, like March 7th. So I was thinking, oh, I don't know how uncomfortable I'm going to be, but I was feeling amazing. So that's great. I didn't really have to take the month off, but I'm really glad that I did. Other things that I did to prep for birth were, yeah, I read Ina May Gaskin's Guide to Childbirth, What to Expect When You're Expecting. I read, what's her name? It's Expecting Better by Emily Oster. And I listened to podcasts all of the time. I was really listening to the Birth Hour podcast. I'd listen to at least one podcast a day. And I'd go on, I was trying to get 10,000 steps each day. So I'd go on a long walk and listen to the podcast and just kind of listen to the birth stories. And at first I listened mostly to unmedicated hospital births, but then I also listened to home birth stories, birth center stories, cesarean stories, unexpected cesarean, all of the stories that I could get my hands on just to educate myself around birth and what I wanted to do. And if I needed intervention, even though I wasn't planning it, what kind of intervention would I want and why? So yeah, and then, yeah, there's one other thing that came up in my pregnancy that was unexpected was around one of the ultrasounds, probably around 30 weeks when they were checking, 30 or 32 weeks, checking for my babies to see if there were any growth restrictions. And they were checking, everything was looking good for the growth, but they did determine that the baby's head was looking small. And so I wasn't told this at the ultrasound, but I got a call from my midwife saying that the baby's head was measuring small. And I wasn't really freaked out by this, but it did not feel good to get that call, although the midwives were very reassuring and said that we're going to go for another ultrasound and just make sure everything's okay. I wasn't so worried about it, but I did have kind of a weird feeling after that phone call that something might be wrong. And I told my husband, and he immediately freaked out, started Googling everything because he's a researcher. So he started Googling everything, and he was saying to me, oh my goodness, there's going to be a problem with our baby's brain. He's going to have to wear this helmet for his first year of life, all this kind of thing. So like I said, I just had the best mood during my pregnancy. I was sleeping really well for the most part, even though my baby was kicking me so much during the night. It was incredible that I was able to sleep through that. But yeah, I just was unshakable, and my mood still, even after having this kind of scary news, I just kind of said, you know what? There's not much we can do about it. We're going to see what happens. And I just have a feeling that it's going to pan out to be all right. And so we had a 2-week wait, which is like excruciating for my husband, but yeah, and there was a little bit of concern there what was going to happen, but we had the ultrasound, and then I had a talk with the OB after, and he just said that they take 2 measurements of the baby's head while they're in there, and the one measurement, which was the important measurement, which is the circumference of the head, was absolutely fine, and then they do another measurement basically from ear to ear. And so he said that the baby's head could just be shaped that way, and it wasn't necessarily small. And he said that looking at my head and my husband's head, we just don't have a very round head. So so we were like, okay. And he said, well, good thing overall is that your baby's not going to have a super round head. So, and I know you're going for an unmedicated birth, so you'll probably have not the most difficult delivery. So we were pretty thrilled about that, because I was a little bit freaking out that we were going to have a huge baby, because I'm 5'11 and my husband is 6'5. So my husband's rooting for a big 10-pound baby, so snuggly, and I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, I hope this baby is 8 pounds, because I don't know what I'm going to do if I have to push out a 10-pound baby. So yeah, that was all of my trimesters and all the kind of things that happened leading up. And now I'll get into what it was like leading into labor. So I did have my 38-week appointment where I did the GBS swab, and I was GBS positive, so that meant that I was going to have antibiotics during my labor. One thing that I talked to my midwife about was that I could start taking vitamin C just in case. She mentioned just like very offhand at my 38-week appointment, what if I wanted to have a membrane sweep, and I declined. I said, no, I'm just going to see what my body does. And if I get to my due date, then I will have a membrane sweep. But for right now, I'm feeling good. I feel amazing pregnant. I'm having no pains. I just feel amazing. So no, I don't want to try to start labor. And then she did mention that because I was GBS positive, there was like a 10% chance that my waters might rupture before I went into labor. So she said that I could take vitamin C, and then that there's been some studies that that helps the waters not rupture before going into labor. So I started taking that, and then not even a week later, I had just had sex with my husband, and I went and sat down on the couch, and I felt this huge pop and immediately sprang up. And yeah, this is at 39 weeks. I immediately sprang up and was like, oh no, like, am I think this is my water breaking, and went into the washroom. And sure enough, I tried to stop. There's water gushing out, and I tried to stop to contract my pelvic floor and to stop if I might have just been peeing or something, but it was totally uncontrollable, and it still kept gushing. Funnily enough, I had read, so yeah, I knew my water had broken. Funnily enough, I had listened to a podcast that said that one of the girls collected her waters and then took it to the hospital in a jar so that they could test it there. And me being a first-time mom, I did the same thing. I collected my water because I was unaware that my waters were just going to leak through my entire labor. I thought that the water would just all come out and that it would be done. But yeah, little did I know that I would just leak throughout my entire labor. So we called the midwives, said that she said, though, this is so funny because I was just telling you that it's only 10% of what it happens to people that have their waters broken, and we just gave you the vitamin C. It was the same midwife. So she said, okay, funny. Well, and then she gave me two options, whether I wanted to drive to the hospital every 4 hours to get the antibiotics, and then drive back home, labor, and then drive back to the hospital, which I wasn't a fan of. So we just decided on going into the hospital and laboring there. So I took a shower, and my husband got everything ready, got our hospital bag that I had packed, threw all of his stuff in that he needed in it. And then an hour later, we made our way to the hospital. And we get up there, and I forgot to mention that. So I wasn't having any contractions. My water just broke kind of out of the blue. And when we started, after I had a shower and was starting to put clothes on for going to the hospital, I had what I thought was my first contraction, which just felt like a very light period cramp, like just noticeable. I noticed something different. I hadn't had any Braxton Hicks or anything like that before. So I just noticed this very light contraction. We go to the hospital, and I'm not contracting very much or very often. So we decide to use the breast pump to get my labor going, and it actually worked really, really well. Basically, the breast pump put me into labor. I used it for about an hour, and then I started to have pretty intense contractions, and within like they were 3 minutes apart, lasting a minute or so, I think they were about like within 3 to 7 minutes apart, kind of thing, lasting a minute. So I labored like that for a little bit. I was having really, really bad back labor. So, and we arrived at the hospital around 8 or 9 PM. So it was a little bit of a concern because I knew that I wasn't going to get a lot of sleep, and I had been up all day, but I was ready for it, and I was prepared for if I had to have a 53-hour labor because I knew that it could be that bad. So yeah, I was prepared for a 53-hour labor. I was prepared to do the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life, basically to run 3 marathons back to back. So yeah, I'm having really, really bad back labor, and I didn't know, but my baby was posterior, which is or sunny side up, which was why it was causing me such bad back labor. He was also asynclitic, so his head. Oh, spoiler alert there, we didn't know the gender, but the baby's head was in a kind of funky position, not really like on the cervix, but just a little, like just a little bit tweaked. So yeah, I was having really bad back labor, and the only thing that would help was my husband doing back squeezes or hip squeezes, and he did that for my entire labor, which was a long labor. So we're there for about four or five hours, and the midwife checked me for the first time, and she said, "Wow, you're 5 centimeters. That's great." And so we just kept laboring. I was laboring on the birth ball, and I was walking around the halls, and it was kind of weird. The nurses at the nurse station were like cheering me on when I was walking. They were saying, "Oh my gosh, she's walking at 5 centimeters. That's amazing." And I don't know, this is my first birth, so I'm just thinking, okay, I mean, I just kind of try to smile, but I'm having contractions at the same time and trying to breathe through them. So just remember that being kind of funny. I was drinking a ton of ice water with the ice chips. I was just addicted to chewing the ice and the ice water. So my husband's getting me that all the time, but then he has to run back to do the hip squeezes. And so yeah, that was like 6 hours into my labor. And then another 5 hours go by, and maybe more. It's been a while. Like, we labor through the entire night. So I guess, yeah, another more than 5 hours. This is in the morning they check me. So it's been like 14 hours then. And they check me, and I'm only a 7. So my husband's kind of confused, because he's thinking, okay, like, you're a 7. You got a couple more hours left. And he's just kind of trying to talk me through this. And I'm doing pretty okay. We labor like that. He's still doing the hip squeezes. My husband gets a couple of hours of rest. And I just remember this being the worst time, because my midwife had to do the hip squeezes then, and she was not as good and just did not provide me with any kind of relief. So I'm trying to balance on the birth ball, on the bed, kind of drape myself over the birth ball. I did not want to get in the shower. I know that my temperature can get really affected by water, and I can get really, really cold. So I just didn't even want to chance it, although I know that a lot of people get relief from the hot water in the shower. So I said no to that. We labor. By now, this has been like, I think, about 18 hours into my labor, and she checks, and I'm thinking, okay, well, no, probably about 20 hours into my labor, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm getting pretty tired. I've been laboring for 20 hours, and I was up the whole day before, so I've been up for like basically 48 hours. I've been up for 2 days. So yeah, I'm thinking to my husband, okay, well, either I need to get some kind of pain relief so that I can go to sleep, or I'm going through transition right now and need to be checked, and because I don't think I can do this for very much longer. So let's get checked, and then we'll see what we do from there. So we get checked, and I'm 10 centimeters. And basically ready to push, but I wasn't having the urge to push. So I forgot to mention that the midwives had switched off by this point. And of course I got my midwife, that is the least favorite midwife of mine. she comes in the door like, great. So yeah, we start to push, and very strange thing happened, but I pushed for about an hour, so this is now 21 hours into my labor, and then I just, for some reason, my contractions spread out to 9 minutes apart, 9 or 10 minutes apart, and I would only have one contraction over 9 or 10 minutes. So this might be, I'm thinking that it's due to the midwife that I don't like that's there, and she just totally stalled my labor. But I don't know why that happened. And the midwife was telling me, okay, this is very strange. I haven't really seen this before. Usually the body amps up and the contractions start getting closer and closer because you're pushing really effectively. But the baby's not going to really go anywhere if you only push once every 10 minutes. They just go down and then they come back up. So we talked about getting Pitocin. So the nurse comes in and they just administer the one unit of Pitocin, and she's asking me, do your contractions hurt? And I'm, yes, they hurt. She said, okay, usually I can tell because you're coping with them so well. But yeah, we get the Pitocin. So yeah, we get the Pitocin and they just put it up to the, oh, right. And I forgot to mention that every 4 hours I'm getting IV antibiotics. So I've had like four or five rounds of the antibiotics by now. And yeah, they hook me up to the Pitocin, put the monitor on. I'm pretty sleepy, but pretty happy at this point, because I know that I'm close-ish to meeting my baby, and it's been 22 hours. So I am just happy that I'm doing it and that everything's going well and I'm about to get this baby out. And so they hook me up, they put just up one unit and it completely works for me. My body is having a ton of contractions. I'm squatting on the bar that's attached to the hospital bed. So every time I have a contraction, I'll pop down into a big squat, and that really helped get my baby down. After a couple of, maybe after about 20 minutes, so they hook me up to the Pitocin, 20 minutes goes by where I'm pushing and squatting, and then they tell me, okay, do you want to, you got to get in the position that you want to get in to have your baby, because I don't think you want to just squat your baby out on the floor. And so I said, yep, you're right. I feel like I want to get on all fours on the bed. So I get into all fours on the bed and I start to push, and I feel that ring of fire. It burns, and my midwife asked me if she can put a warm compress on my perineum to help it stretch. I agree to that, but it is just on fire. And I feel like I'm going to poop. So I say, oh my God, because it's just wild. It's nothing that I felt like ever in my life. And I give one push, and then they say, just like breathe, push slowly. I gave one push and the baby's head is out. It hurt. It didn't necessarily hurt, but it burned a lot. And that gave me such good motivation, because they said, okay, the head is out, nice contraction, you can go ahead and push again. And I just give a huge push for the second contraction, because I want that baby out. It burns, it feels weird, his head's out, I can hear him screaming. So Duncan, my husband, catches the baby, and they say, what is it, Dad? And he just doesn't say anything. So I'm kind of there on all fours. I can hear the baby screaming. They're so not happy. And I just hear the baby screaming. And they say again, Dad, what is it? And he said, it's a boy. And so they say, okay, pass the baby to Mom. Pass him to Mom. And he passes it, the baby, through my legs, and I pick up my baby, I roll over, put him on my chest, roll over, and then I just start talking to my baby, and he instantly stops screaming. As soon as I start talking to him, he stops screaming, and he just opens his eyes at me, and he has so much vernix on him, and I'm like, oh my gosh, hi baby, welcome baby. So I just talking to him and saying, welcome baby, you're here, you're finally here. And I just have that huge moment of, I have so much energy again, even though it was a 22-hour labor. I have so much energy now because my baby's finally here, and I'm just overfilled with emotion and love for my baby, and I just find that I connect with him instantly. So we do skin to skin in the bed, and everyone's just cheering, saying, wow, you did that, and you did it unmedicated. And my friend's mom is there, who is the charge nurse, and she's there to congratulate me and see the birth and just say, wow, you did such a good job. And yeah, so the baby's on my chest, and the midwife tells me that I'm just bleeding a little bit more than she'd like. So she says that she wants to get the placenta out and she wants to cut the cord. And I say, oh, wait a minute. I wanted delayed cord clamping. Has it been a minute? And she said, yeah, it's been a minute. It's been like 5 minutes. So she said that cord is not pulsing at all anymore. So I said, oh my gosh, wow. I did not think it had been that long. So yeah, she cuts I think they cut the cord. I think Duncan helped as well to cut the cord. And so he cuts it together with the midwife. And she gives a couple of tugs on my placenta and it just comes right out, which was amazing because I was a little bit scared with the marginal cord insertion that the placenta might just might fracture, or that the cord might pop off and the placenta wouldn't come out with it and they'd have to go in manually and get it. But none of that happened. That was great. So she gets the placenta out. We kind of look at it and it looks so cool. The tree of life looks amazing. And we just kind of look at the placenta and she tells us where the baby was. And then she says that she's going to stitch me up because I have a second degree tear. I have two tears that are second degree. So she starts stitching, gives me the shot of Pitocin, starts stitching, and there's the numbing. But then I say, ow, because it really hurt. Just felt like she jabbed me with a needle. And she says, oh yeah, just let me know if it hurts. And then I kind of just look at her and she said, oh yeah, you just told me. And I'm like, yeah, I'd like some more numbing, please. So she gives me the numbing and stitches me all up. That's totally fine. She said, oh, I'm kind of going to need you to, can you like push up on your legs? And I do like a bridge, and I'm doing that. She gets all that she needs that's under me. And she's telling the nurse, oh my gosh, she's going to keep holding that pose. And I'm like, can I come down? And she's like, yes, please. Oh my gosh. They're just, her and the nurse are just kind of talking like that. They think I'm like super strong or like superwoman, but I'm not. So that was kind of cool. And then, so they weigh my baby. He's 7 pounds, 3 ounces, or 7 pounds, 1 ounce. No, he's 7 pounds, 3 ounces and 21 inches long. And the thing that they say when they put him down to weigh him was, oh my gosh, he has huge feet. So my baby, and anecdotally, my baby just has like any other kid we know that's the same age, he has 3 shoe sizes up to them. He's got huge feet. So they get him all weighed and all kind of like wiped off a little bit because he's got quite a bit of blood on him from me. And yeah, I have skin to skin with him for an hour. My husband holds him for a little bit. And they notice that he's kind of breathing a little bit weird, kind of grunty. So they did send him to the NICU. So my husband goes with him to the NICU and my midwife leaves me. And all of a sudden, because she had another birth and the mom's starting to push, so she needed to go. And my nurse went with the baby. So I'm all alone in the room just having had my birth, and I'm kind of shaking and feeling like I lost a lot of blood, which I did lose about 1 liter of blood, so a little bit more than usual. Yeah, so they leave me there. Eventually my husband comes back, and then but not with the baby. They leave the baby in the NICU, and then a nurse comes in to take me and my husband and I to the postpartum unit, the mom and babe. So we go there. I remember it was excruciating going over all the bumps in the floor, but we get there and then we sleep for a little bit, And then they call me down. They wheel me, just me, down to the NICU to see my baby and to feed him. So we actually, I feed him there. He latches on really well, which was amazing. And then they send me back up with him because we had named him Wallace. So they send me back up with Wallace. And they said he just had some grunts, but he's doing good now. So he only spent a couple of hours there in the NICU. And they send me up with him and we get to our room. And yeah, they just do all the tests. He had a little bit of jaundice, but we just stare at him all night. He slept pretty well for that first night. I guess he was pretty tired. He's got a bunch of bruising on his face because he was asynclitic and he just had a little bit of a hard time navigating getting out. So yeah, he's got a little bit of bruising and he's a little jaundiced, but they send us home in a few days. I think we spent 2 or 3 days in the hospital just because they needed to do some tests, and it took a while to get me my Rogam shot that I needed to get before and to do the hearing test. So we just decided to stay, and it was nice because they had food and it honestly tasted the best because we hadn't brought enough snacks with us and we were so tired. That's probably why it tasted good, because otherwise I think it would have tasted horrible. So we get home and postpartum was pretty good. That third day I was definitely hit with the baby blues and I just got really sad because Wallace was still jaundiced and I was just kind of scared for him, and he would be doing his cluster feeding, so he was up every half hour throughout the night for the entire night, and that was really tough. But he slowly his jaundice got better. We had to go to the hospital a couple times for him to have a heel prick again. But breastfeeding went really well. I had a low supply with him, so I did have to pump quite a lot to give him bottles. So I would feed him and then I would pump. And then I'd also pump first thing in the morning to give him a big bottle at nighttime. So I was doing a lot of pumping and a lot of breastfeeding, and he loved breastfeeding. Like, even he breastfed up until about 20 months and he would have kept going had I not cut him off because I was about to have my second baby. But yeah, postpartum went really well with him, and that's our story. Thanks for listening to Nettles and Honey, a podcast where we share our birth stories. See you next Thursday at 10 a.m. PST for another episode. Love and light!